Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, so all this week we've been teaming up with Volkswagen, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby, ahead of the big match later on. And if you're lucky enough to be heading along to the game, be sure to drop by the Volkswagen Fan TV Tiguan on Lansdowne Road for your chance to meet a rugby legend, test your rugby knowledge and skills, as well as win some great prizes. Volkswagen is a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. And to look ahead to the game, we have three very special guests in studio. We have the Connacht coach, Andy Friend. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
And two injured Irish internationals, Jenny Murphy. How are you keeping?
Not too bad.
No crutches for once.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice to be in here, walking on my own 2 feet, no wobble.
How is the knee?
It's getting there, slow and steady, but like see the light at the end of the tunnel now.
When will you be back playing rugby?
That's kind of on the physio now, so I just have to keep on ticking the boxes, and I'm aiming for 2 months.
Okay.
And earlier if I can, but yeah, 2 months is.
You were sort of on a sabbatical from the Irish team anyway, so are you now thinking you've had the injury, you've had the break? Six Nations, get me back in there.
I just want to play rugby.
Right.
I just want to play rugby. And then if I'm playing well and I put my hand up for selection for Ireland, then that'll be great. But at the moment, I just want to get a ball in hand and run.
See where you go.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with it. Fergus McFadden is with us as well. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Not
How's
too bad.
Hamstring?
Looking forward to the game today, actually, a lot. So.
Yeah?
Yeah, hamstring is good. Yeah, I had an operation on the hamstring 2 weeks ago. So I was struggling to get around for end of week, but it's feeling a lot better now. Started my rehab around 3 or 4 days ago, so the physios are pretty happy with where it's at the moment, and the aim is kind of to be back at the end of January, similar to Jenny, really, yeah.
Well, best of luck with that. You're the only one of the three going along. You've got one of the golden tickets tonight. You were saying, though, generally you try and avoid it. Is it difficult when you are out injured to go and watch and think, could be me, should be me?
Little bit. It's not so much that. It's just sometimes I actually just like watching the games at home, and
okay.
You know, you see more, you get the replays and all like that. But you know, today's going to be a special day. The atmosphere there, and the last time New Zealand were in town, and they ended up beating us by a point with that double conversion at the end. The atmosphere was incredible, and the same in Chicago, I heard. So yeah, be good to get down there and see what it's like.
With the Irish team, when you're injured, is it simply a case of when you're out, you're out? You're totally removed. There's no,
come in,
let's keep you involved, check in.
No, it's completely like, I'm sure Robbie Henshaw was in the gym yesterday. We were doing a session in Leinster, and, you know, he was right in the mix, and he was due to start again in Argentina, and he picked up the hamstring injury, and now he's just gone. You know, he's not around the team anymore. So at the end of the day, if you're not fit, you're not useful for Joe, so why is he going to have you around, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
It's the harsh reality of being a coach, I guess, Andy.
That's it, mate. It's not a popularity contest, as we say.
You're a bit of a superstar in Galway already. Did I see that you were turning on the Christmas lights in Galway?
Well, it was myself and Jared Butler and Santa. We got the privilege of turning on the Latin Quarter set of lights last night. It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's, you made it.
Well,
as good as it gets.
Yeah. I think there were four sections, and we were lucky enough to be given one section to light up, and it was good. It was really good. So amazing city, amazing town, and even last night. What are we? Middle of November, and we've got probably 15,000 people in the centre of town waiting for Chrissy lights to turn on with Santa. So always a buzz there.
So you're the one neutral on this panel. Are we getting a little bit carried away with ourselves, with the confidence heading into this game?
No, I don't think you are. I think, I've been watching Ireland now for this build, probably since the last World Cup. Your Six Nations success, your success down in Australia in that series. And I think, rightly so, you're number two in the world. So 1v2, two-horse race at home. Yeah, you should be confident.
Mm. That confidence, is that everywhere to be seen around Irish rugby right now, when you're in around the squad over the last year, when you're with Leinster? Is there a belief? Is the belief system in Irish rugby different to where it was when you were starting out?
Oh yeah, definitely. When I was starting out and you played against New Zealand, it was kind of like you just wanted to give a good account to yourself, really. I know you're talking about winning the game and how you're going to win the game, but I don't think the belief was really there. Whereas now, you know, as Andy said, it's 1 and 2 in the world. You know, we're 2 in the world for a reason. We've been one of those consistent teams over the past 2 years. So The confidence is right up there, definitely. I've no doubt that all the boys know that if they play well enough today, they'll beat them.
So when did that change? When did that attitude shift happen?
Probably over time under Joe Schmidt. Like in his first November when he came in, we played Samoa, Australia, gave us a thumping, which I played in that game, unfortunately, and then I broke my hand. But the boys played the All Blacks the following week, and it was the game where we got beaten by a point, was it? Or no, sorry, that wasn't. That we started well against them. Remember, Rob Kearney scored that try.
Yeah.
We just played well. We lost. But I think that was the start of maybe people kind of looking around going, you know, when we do get things right and under this new system, we can kick on. And then obviously the success came, more success came with Joe with those two Six Nations, then the Grand Slam. You know, beating South Africa, going down to South Africa, winning it, beating them down there for the first time, and then also winning that series against Australia. You know, the confidence is high, and I think it's been a build, as Andy said. It's been that kind of 4 or 5 year build, and you know, the team's in a great place.
So it's been the combination of building up your own confidence and also starting to, I guess, break down the aura of the All Blacks, because that's something Joe Schmidt's been very keen to stress all week, that actually when you look at this team, 1 to 15, you go through their plays, it's very like any other team. Yes, they are the best in the world, but you have to approach it mentally like you would against any other team, that there are weaknesses there. Mm. You just somehow got to find them, I guess.
Yeah, I think the aura was officially broke in Chicago, because you can say what you want before that about us nearly beating them, but we just didn't. So, you know, it was officially broken then, and then it was like, these guys are just other lads that are putting on jerseys, but they're black. And, you know, from there, I can imagine that the All Blacks have a lot of fear going into this game today. You know, I know they are favourites, but you can see from the stuff they're saying in the media, and even from past players. I was at a thing with Sean Fitzpatrick yesterday, and you can tell the respect levels are right up there now. You know, they know that Ireland are a big threat.
Yeah, that's kind of, Jenny, what makes this game so exciting, is that we're into the unknown. If Ireland were to win this game, we'd be a year out from a World Cup, and we'd be the best team in the world right now.
It's not a bad place to be.
No.
And except for, it's going to be an absolutely cracking game. Like, again, Ireland, they didn't have their best game against Argentina last week, but you can kind of say the same for New Zealand. And England definitely showed there's a lot of weaknesses that we can exploit. And I've no doubt that Joe Schmidt will be looking at all of these and exploiting them to the utmost. And again, like, I think one of Ireland's strengths is that structured play, and they will go after when they spot a weakness, they will go after it wholeheartedly. So it's going to be an intense affair, but it's, there's any tickets going, like.
There's still time. You're still there. Watching that game then last week between New Zealand and England, what were the areas that you saw on that All Blacks team that maybe Ireland could really get at them?
I think one of the, like, England punched up really well and varied their play, and their back line tended to drift left to right a lot. And as a result, you can see, if you look in the backfield, Damien McKenzie would drift with the back line, and then it was just snapped the other direction. So Chris Ashton got a try. There was no backfield cover, and it was because majority of the backfield, English backfield, basically switched. He followed them, ball was snapped the other way, and Ashton was kind of free to do what he does. So I can think that I thought Rico Ioane got caught a little bit narrow a few times. Like, Steve Hansen is going to tidy that up and fix that a lot. So those kind of areas that were spotted by Eddie Jones, they probably won't be there to the extent today. But like, I'm sure Joe Schmidt has something up his sleeve anyway.
Yeah. On the aura side of things, Andy, Matt Williams was in the paper today talking how he feels maybe the world rankings are a little bit skewed, even though it is the Six Nations Grand Slam winners against the Rugby Championship winners, because Ireland don't play New Zealand that often and the Southern Hemisphere teams end up playing them 3, 4, 5 times a year, and was making the point that Ireland have played New Zealand 3 times since 2012, never over there, whereas Australia, who are 7th in the rankings, have played New Zealand 21 times since then, 10 times in New Zealand. And I guess part of the benefit of playing New Zealand so often is that it does break down the aura, because you're always going to get your wins when you're playing them that often. And whereas we only get to see them once every 2-3 years at this stage, it builds up. Like, is there still an aura even in Australia around the All Blacks, or has it been well broken down at this stage?
No, there's a massive aura because they keep beating us, the Buggers. So the other side of that is too, you when you're playing the top, it should stretch you. It should bring you up closer to them. So in a funny way, New Zealand, Ireland not playing New Zealand, only playing them 3 times in 3 years, I'd see that as a disadvantage, because you want to be playing that top team every year if you can. Mm. And we have the fortunate position, I see it as a fortunate position in Australia, where you're playing them 3 or 4 times a year, so you can continue to pitch yourself against the best. And it's only when you pitch yourself against the best you know how you're going. That's your yardstick. And we haven't been able to match it from an Australian point of view. So potentially the world rankings may be a tad skewed there, but I'd just say my observation, Northern Hemisphere rugby has increased massively over the last 4 or 5 years. There's no, you know, you turn up here and if you take any team lightly at your peril, you're going to lose that game. We got Australia playing Italy today. That's going to be a tough fixture for Australia. Mm. I know it is. On the other side of it, Southern Hemisphere rugby probably hasn't moved as quickly. Although the All Blacks continue to be that team that you want to beat.
In what way is Southern Hemisphere rugby not moving as quickly?
Well, listen, I feel Australian rugby at the moment, and I know we're here to talk about Ireland and New Zealand, but Australian rugby at the moment, we're suffering. We're now seeing the lack of focus on grassroots, which has probably happened over the last 10 or 15 years. That's now coming through. We don't have the player depth that we used to have. So we're in a real pickle there at the minute, and how do we do that? Well, we're going to have to probably stay around the 7th to 10th spot for the next 4 or 5 years, and then build that back up, and hopefully we are building that grassroots back up, and exactly what Ireland are doing. I've been really impressed since having, you know, only been here 4 or 5 months now, but there's a belief in rugby here. There's a base of the pyramid which is really solid, a lot of good depth coming through, centralised system, you know, 4 really strong provinces now, and there's just good depth here.
And the lack of investment in grassroots that brought Australian rugby to this level, was that just a false sense of security at the very top of the game that we'll always be fine, or was it a real focus on the senior team and that everything was thrown, all resources were thrown after that because of success there should funnel its way down?
Combination of both. Plus we also had, you know, 2 other codes, which AFL being the big one, who were just building this base and building the base. So whilst we weren't focusing on the base, we being rugby, and we were focusing on the top of the pyramid, a little bit of complacency, a little bit because probably the 2003 World Cup gave us such a windfall. Mm. And I think, well, I know that the focus then became, this is a corporate game. No, it's not. It's a mum and dad's game and a kid's game. And as soon as you lose focus of that, you're dead, and we're reaping the benefits, or the lack of benefits from that now. So there was definitely a shift of focus away from what builds strong codes, and what builds strong codes is wide bases. And how do you get wide bases? It's community, it's participation based, it's kids, mum and dads being able to afford to come through a turnstile and watch their heroes play. A young 5, 6, 7 year old boy or girl being able to watch your hero play and say, I want to be that person. We didn't do that. We went to Super Rugby, where most games were 7:30 to 7:45 at night, so a lot of young kids can't turn up there. We went to non-free-to-air TV, so we weren't now on the television. AFL, 3 o'clock kickoffs, free-to-air TV. Last 15 years, their base is massively wide now. Ours isn't. And we're suffering from that at the minute.
Mm. Fergus, obviously at grassroots level, Leinster, it feels, are doing things very, very right. I'm sure there's people who are playing AIL will say that there's still a lot of issues at the club game and things like that, but certainly through the academy system, the level of depth that is there, even you talk about Robbie Henshaw going back into Leinster training. Like, Sean O'Brien is ruled out, replaced by another Leinster player, Dan Levy. He's ruled out, replaced by another Leinster player, Josh van der Fleer. And then Jordy Murphy, who's obviously left, but again came through the academy in one position. I know. To 4 players of that quality, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's mad. Yeah, there's definitely a bit of a conveyor belt of talent coming out of, and that's a credit to the academy system that's in there. But before those players get to the academy system in Leinster, I think that the Leinster schools system, you could argue either side of this, I don't know what you think, Andy, yet, because you haven't been here that long, but I think the school system in Leinster is just far just leagues ahead of the other four provinces. So, yep. so there's just better players, you know, coming out of school that are kind of going into the academy that have already been trained very well. From a rugby perspective and from a conditioning perspective, they're almost ready to go in there at that stage, and it makes such a big difference. And obviously, the Leinster Academy has been huge in then equipping them for the next stage and next step to the professional setup. But yeah, I think it's a lot of it comes down to the Leinster school system, I reckon.
You're thinking they just need to slow down a little bit with this conveyor belt. All these 19, 20, 21-year-olds flying out of the blocks.
That's how I pop my hamstring, trying to keep up with these young
lads. But the conveyor belt's brilliant. But and I reckon everyone on that Leinster conveyor belt school wants to play for Leinster. But they've only got a certain amount of spots there. So then start spreading it out. And I think that's probably what we're going to start to see. It's not that they're Leinster. You know, why can't they go and play for Connacht or for Munster or for Ulster? Because if you can't get in that Leinster side, you want your best talent playing footy. And I have only been here a short period of time, but I'm fully aware of how strong that Leinster school system is and the talent that it's churning out. But what we've got to be able to do as a centralised Irish rugby system is share that talent. Leinster 100% get the key people.
I'm agreeing with you for that one now. I'm going to be taking all their players.
No, but this is the whole point, because we had the same.
No, I know what you mean.
Same when I was at the Waratahs. Waratahs was the base, that's where everyone came from. And my hometown's actually Canberra. And at the time it was, no, we want to hold on to all these players at the Waratahs. Well, you can keep them all, but we're now not getting the best players playing footy. Waratahs, pick your best 60. You got free reign, pick your best 60 out of there. Then, you know, anyone from 61 to 100, let them go somewhere else. It's up to the player too. So the player, he may not want to leave home, may want to stay and play for his province too, which is totally respectful. But I reckon there's, you know, once, because there is such a conveyor belt coming out, spread that and get him into the provincial side.
You can see what's happened with Joey, obviously, last year going to Munster, and now Nick McCarthy is also going down to Munster. You had Geordie going up to Ulster because maybe he looked at it and went, am I going to get as much time there with these guys that are potentially ahead of me when they're fit? So
I played every big game then. It turned out last season on the way to winning the Champions Cup.
It's typical though, isn't it?
But like, you have players that are missed as well, that go through the system, like Tadhg Byrne, prime example, like how he got away from that. Obviously the training and stuff, and he's such a prolific player now, and obviously probably disappointed to be missed out, but that's you want them to play to the highest level that they can and get as many minutes, because that will only benefit them as well. So it's kind of like, no, I'm a Leinster supporter, so I'm like, yeah, keep them all, but you want...
Oh yeah, from an IRFU perspective, it's 100% the best plan, you know, to just spread those players out. They see the guys maybe in the second year of a Leinster academy that aren't really getting the opportunities because there's a bit of a backlog in their position. It's like, send them to the other provinces. Yeah, it would make the Irish team stronger, and it would make the four provinces stronger, you know, for sure. There's no arguing that against
it. Yeah, and I guess from an IRFU point of view, it's a very important role that they have there, and probably still fine-tuning it, because for every Jordan Larmer who can emerge at 2021 and go straight into a first team, there is somebody like Tadhg Byrne who actually maybe takes a little bit longer to develop. We'll get there eventually. Mm. But it's probably a situation at Leinster that if you're not ready now at 21, 22, you're not going to get the chance there. You have to think about leaving. So you don't want to lose the talents of a vast majority of players who maybe physically develop a little bit later, mentally develop a little bit later, but can definitely add something to Irish rugby a little bit further down the tracks.
Yeah, but if you've got, but if you're building up a, like if your program's one that at this point in time there's a roadblock, but you can go away, you can play somewhere else, and we're going to keep an eye on you. And when, if you go somewhere and you go really well, mate, we actually want you back because you were Leinster based. And he says, you know what, I want to come back. Sweet, we'll come back. You've gone and you've developed your skill set over there. But then when he goes to another province too, he might say, actually, I've actually fallen in love with this place. And as much as I love being there, I've seen a new part of the world, new part of Ireland, and I've fallen in love with that, and I want to stay here. May do, may not do. But I just reckon, again, and we saw this in Australian rugby, where we probably had this a dearth of talent staying there in New South Wales and in Queensland. And once we started to loosen it up, the Brumbies started to become a little bit stronger, and the Rebels are now starting to become a little bit stronger. And AFL is completely draft system. Okay, so you're a young bloke coming through.
You can end up anywhere.
You may be an Essendon born and bred. Doesn't mean you're going to play for Essendon. You may be on a flight as soon as you might be the first draft pick. You're off to Perth. You're playing for the West Coast Eagles. Okay.
Is it a difficult balance that you're obviously very new to the job, and you'll probably get to see this a lot more over the next couple of years, but is it a different balancing act then for a coach with all these players coming from Leinster as to what impression it gives to your players who are coming through the Academy of Connacht, who have done everything right, and you want to make sure you're getting the right character, I guess, coming from the Leinster Academy that's ready to go prove themselves, that it's not coming down, I don't want to say as a Leinster reject, but that, well, we're just taking the scraps of Leinster and we're going to throw them in instead of the guys who've actually worked their asses off for the last 3-4 years.
Unfortunately, in our job, it's all about performance. So, listen, we want 30% of Indigenous players at Connacht. So 30% of our squad, we want them to be Indigenous. And if we could have 100%, we'd have 100%. But at the end of the day, too, you're chartered with trying to win games of football. So you're going to be picking the best talent that's out there. So, you know, I think, again, like coaching, it's not a popularity contest. Because you're a Connacht born and bred fella, if you're good enough, yeah, we're going to pick you. And if you're equal with a Leinster boy, we're going to pick you because you're Connacht born and bred. But if you're not and he's better and he's in your position, well, that's the nature of the sport we're in.
Yeah.
But as a player as well, though, you're like, that competition is good. Sometimes you don't want to get complacent, like, so when you see somebody else kind of knocking on the door of that jersey, that you're like, that's my jersey. Like, you need to be fight, like, you need, like, and that's the thing, the great thing about the Irish team now, there's so much depth, and there's like trying to pick that second row and loose the flankers and eight, that's such a difficult thing, but that's what you want. You want players constantly having to perform match every single match, because if not, there's someone breathing down their neck in a good way. And it's the same in that, you know, Connacht environment or Leinster as well. You're vying for that winger jersey, and that's good. Like, competitiveness breeds success, I think.
For sure.
You found that, because obviously it's such a competitive back three for Leinster and for Ireland right now. And say, all going well, you get through the next year injury free and you're still thinking about the 2019 World Cup, like, the level of depth that's there to force your way in, it's such a challenge. Is it something you absolutely relish, or is it a very stressful situation where you're going into every single game knowing, like, I can't afford to be 7 out of 10 here. It has to be 9 out of 10 week in, week out. I know you always want to get to that level, but it's not always possible.
I wouldn't say it's stressful. You have to be aware that there's a standard. It's not even in the games, to be honest. It's in training as well. You know, Andy, I'm sure you've got huge focus on training as well, but, you know, Stuart and Leo put a lot of focus on, if guys are continually training well, they could be young guys that have got opportunities to come up from the academy. You know, eventually they will get rewarded. You know, they get games in that Celtic Cup that was on a couple of months over the past few months, and then eventually they might get capped in this next period coming into February with the guys away in camp. So, yeah, that competition does breed success, as you said, and it's certainly the biggest thing for Leinster this year. That's something that we've had to kind of slingshot ourselves using the competition, because when we gone from winning both trophies last year, it's like, okay, so how do you build the motivation? How do you build the motivation to go? Well, how you do it is, we've got guys, you know, behind me or me behind someone else going, you know, between, you know, the back three, the back row, the front rows, the second rows. Like, it's extreme. It's like a test side trying to get into it at the moment. So, you know, the way Stuart and Leo want to have it is where everyone's trying to get their hands on it. Yeah, the jersey.
Do you remember the first time you saw Jordan Larmour play?
First time I saw him play.
Oh shit!
it was more a few training sessions, because younger guys do come up. And they train, and, you know, we talked about Tadhg Byrne being a slow burner. So you don't want to judge a guy on 1 week or one game or even like a block of games, because guys take time to progress, particularly when they get into the professional setup. But then some guys do come along and it's just like straight away you just go, wow, you know. And he was definitely one of those guys in training that you're going, this guy's only 19 years old, but he's ready to go into the team. Which is crazy. I think he... Because, like, when I came out of school and I was into the Leinster setup, there was definitely a part of me, I knew I had enough ability to be in the setup, but I was a bit intimidated, to be honest with you, and I maybe didn't have the self-confidence at that stage. But I think there's a few younger guys that have come through lately that just, I wouldn't call it an arrogance, they've just got such a confidence, they just go, you know, into it without thinking twice about it, which is sometimes half the battle, you know. James Ryan the same, and then Jordan Larmour. But yeah, just ready made when he came out of school, and it's, you don't always see that.
Yeah, we want to get into previewing the game, but we need to take a break as well. A reminder that all this week we've teamed up with Volkswagen, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby, ahead of the big match later on. If you're lucky enough to be heading along to the game, and remember, Jenny's still looking for a ticket, be sure to drop by the Volkswagen Fan TV, Tiguan and Lansdowne Road for your chance to meet a rugby legend, test your rugby knowledge and skills, as well as some great prizes. Volkswagen, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. We have Jenny Murphy, Andy Friend and Fergus McFadden in the studio. Quick break.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're very welcome back to Saturday's Off the Ball. All this week, we've been teaming up with Volkswagen, proud sponsor of Irish rugby, ahead of the big game later on. If you're lucky enough to be heading along, be sure to drop by the Volkswagen Fan TV Tiguan on Lansdowne Road. You can meet a rugby legend, test your rugby knowledge and skills, as well as winning some great prizes. Volkswagen is a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. I said the big appeal was for a ticket for Jenny, but it turns out getting some spuds for Andy Friend has been dominating discussion during the ad break. So your first time meeting Andy Friend, Jenny, and the first question you asked was, have you had proper spuds since you came over?
I feel like Fergus sold me up the river there a bit. Yes, that is entirely accurate. Instead of talking about the weather, I went with the stereotypical spud chat, and
the answer was no. And it's the first, it's actually, because I think our Galway people ask you about the weather first, so that's the first yeah. spud chat I've
yeah,
had.
I'm mixing it up, like.
You are, it must be a Dublin thing.
Have you ever spent as much time in your life talking about rain as you have since you moved to Galway?
No. Well, I've never seen so much rain. Unbelievable. I was saying to the guys before I came on, when I arrived, it was early July, and Tim Allnut, as we were driving in, he said, "Oh, listen, there's been a bit of a drought in Galway. There may be some water restrictions coming on." And I said, "Oh, how long since you've had rain?" And he said, 17 days. I said, "You're dreaming, mate. Like, that's, we normally go 17 weeks or months, and then we might talk about maybe not putting the sprinkler on." But yeah, there's amazing rain there, and it's hence the reason it's so green.
So Jenny's going to bring you out for a bit of dinner. A few spuds.
Yeah, Kilcannon.
Irish Kilcannon.
Yeah.
As traditional as we can possibly get. Yeah, yeah. So let's get into looking ahead to the game. Four changes for Ireland. We spoke about the depth that was there in the back row, and eventually it has come to Josh van der Fleer to step in. Like, it feels as though Sean O'Brien, in this game above all others, is just a massive loss, Jenny, because you need that abrasiveness, you need that front foot attack, and just almost a recklessness, it feels, against the All Blacks that O'Brien gives you.
Sean O'Brien is a massive loss, of course he is, but the fact that we've got so much depth and someone like with Van der Fleer's talent coming in, like, Ireland will be fine. Obviously, I'm gutted for him, because this is like, he's had a string of injuries now, and he's worked so hard to get back into the mix, and this is just so unlucky. Like, I was watching the game, and you're just that collective, it's just not fair. But like, sometimes rugby isn't fair, and he'll be back, and hopefully he'll be back for the Six Nations. So yeah, that kind of like go forward ball, and that he just gets stuck in all the time. But so do the other back, so I've no doubt that it will be picked up by the other guys in the back row as well.
Again, am I over-egging the All Blacks there, talking about the level of aggression and abrasiveness that's needed against them? Like, you've played against New Zealand, scored one of the few Irish players to score a try against New Zealand in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, am I over-egging it in terms of the difference between playing the All Blacks, and you were part of, I think on that tour, you could have beaten them in the second test, get beaten out of the park in the third test.
Yeah.
Like, is it a step up above everybody else in terms of intensity?
Against them? Mm. Oh yeah, well, sure, they're the best team. But
marketing, compared to playing even Grand Slam deciders, big Six Nations games.
In fairness to the All Blacks, though, everyone raises their game when they play them as well. So, you know, the target is on their back the whole time. So I've no doubt that Ireland are going to play twice as well as they played against Argentina. They'll have to, number one, but they just will through the preparation that Joe has prepped them with. But I think more so, they are extremely physical, as you said, but I think it's more how clinical they are. You know, like, I don't know how many line breaks they made against England, but it was unusual for them actually not to convert a lot of them. Usually they make two or three line breaks a game. It's try, try, try. And I think the worry for Ireland today was that I think Argentina made around 8 line breaks against us last week. If they've half as many, if they have 5 or 6 line breaks today, the All Blacks, they're going to score 3 or 4 tries. So that'll be definitely an area that we'll have to sew up.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that happened last week that you feel if they happened today, you're not going to win the game, from the line-out breaking down at times, from Johnny Sexton having a little bit of an off day with the boot, as you say, the amount of line breaks they got. But everybody tends to play at their best against the All Blacks. You'd have to imagine Joe Smith over this past week has tore into them about that. And also he's made changes, particularly to the line-out. I was saying outside that probably the best thing Devin Toner ever did was sit out the first hour of that game last week, because finally it feels as though people have realised what he brings to this team.
Yeah, big time. I mean, Dev is very much an unsung hero for Ireland and Leinster. You know, he's been so consistent over a long period of time. He was probably a slow burner for Ireland as well. When he initially got in there, it was kind of like you're wondering how he's going to, if he was going to kick on. And then just with those games, getting those games under his belt, which he can take at test level, he's become, I don't understand how he would have been, I don't know if it was he was dropped last week or whether it was rotation, but in my opinion, he'd be one of the first names I'd put on the sheet. He runs the line out. That's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, if you look at the way England went after the All Blacks with their maul last week, getting so much pay out of it and that try, you know, I've no doubt, you know, with a bit more security winning our own ball with Dev, that Joe will definitely try to focus on that area when we get a few lineouts in their 22.
Yeah, there's even still today some criticism, and there's constant criticism maybe, that Ireland are still lacking a little bit of creativity at times, even with all the scores and tries that were got during the Grand Slam win, and that at times the attack can be a little bit blunt. But you do get the sense, watching a Joe Smith side, that focuses so much on the basics because of games like this, where you simply cannot make mistakes in the line-out, you cannot concede easy line breaks, that actually games like this are a grind. They're going to be tight. If you want to win them, it'll be a one-score game either way. And it could come down to a mistake. So I'm going to spend all my time making sure we don't make them and then hope that you take your one big chance when it comes along. Would that be somewhere what his thinking is?
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, that's why I mentioned how clinical the All Blacks are. That's why they're the best team. So Ireland will have to be equally, if not better, in terms of how clinical they are with their chances and not turning the ball over against the All Blacks. Because if you turn the ball over against the All Blacks, they can score from nothing. I think they score most of their tries from turnover or from loose kicks. And in fairness to Joe Schmidt's Ireland, their ball retention, I think, is the best out of any other test side. So that's going to be huge today, making sure that we don't get cough up. You know, the last thing we want to do is knock balls on, we're under no pressure, or lose lineouts. So I think if we can retain the ball for long enough, you know, and a lot of people are talking about today, you know, the All Blacks in the last 20 minutes. I actually think the Irish bench is, that's where our strength is today. If you go through the bench versus the All Black bench, like there's dynamic guys coming off that bench for Ireland. Sean Cronin, Andrew Porter, Ian Henderson, you got Jordan Larmour in the back three, Luke McGrath. You know, all guys that can change a game. I kind of look through their bench and think, you know, they have to bring that guy on. They're definitely going to be weaker, you know. So I think that last 20 could potentially benefit Ireland if when Joe makes the right changes.
It's probably the biggest game of Kieran Marmion's life, and he's known probably in the back of his mind that he may get this chance, Andy, over the last few months. From what you've seen with him, from working with him, how's he taken on this challenge? How's it affected him knowing that Conor Murray was in all likelihood going to miss this game? He's battling away with Luke McGrath, with John Cooney for the number 9 jersey. Is it something that can wear quite heavy on a player?
It can do. I don't think you're going to see that with Kieran, though. I think he's listen, I've only known him for 5 months. In fact, probably less, because he didn't come in for the early part. But my read on him at the moment, he's a very focused individual. He knows he's got a big job ahead of him. He's a really proud man too. And he knows this is a great opportunity for him. So I think you're going to see a bloke give him 100% of what he's got. He'll stick to the game plan because he's got a mountain of respect for Joe and for what the team's trying to play. And he's just going to be out there trying to do the best he can do. You know, for me, his point of difference is that ability. If you give him a hole around the ruck, he'll take it. And I want him to have the confidence to be able to do that today. But, you know, predominantly he's there to serve us. He's there to serve us. Johnny and anyone else who's coming onto that football and keep the ball in front of his forwards.
So is that quite a different role in a way from Connacht, where because he's one of the more senior experienced players now, you'd want a little bit more from him, whereas actually today in a game like this, you just again, do the basics pretty well.
Today's all about moments. Okay, and the game of footy at the top level is all about moments. And I reckon one of the great things that Ireland do, they do retain the ball better. So you've got multiple moments, and every time you have a moment, you're asking the opposition, are you good enough to handle this moment? And if they are, well, then you'll go to another, you know, your plan B, where you might look to turn them and create another moment. So there today, I think, you know, for Kieran, he just got to keep feeding, get to that ruck quickly, get the ball out quickly, feed Johnny, let him do his stuff. If there is a moment for him to go, because everything's going, you know, east or west to Johnny, and there's a little, you know, the A defender's a little bit loose there, back himself to take that. But it's certainly different the way we play. Kind of, you know, we need to create different sort of moments because we don't have the structure, or we don't set our structure up the same way that Ireland do. So his game plan is definitely different today, but I think he's going to perform it well.
That's a different, difficult balance, I guess, for a player when you spend so much time in Ireland camp and the Irish management team have so much control over the game in this country that you have a set way of what you want to do and you've big ambitions for what you want to do with Connacht. And one of your main players is playing such a different style and hearing such different thoughts for a good chunk of the year.
Yeah, but that's the same with every team, I think. You know, every team's quite unique in the way they play. And that's why the top players become the top players, because they're able to adjust to this system or to this system. Mm. Yeah, and he's been involved with that Irish system now for a few years, so he knows it. He knows what's expected of him, and he'll deliver today.
The talk about ball retention, like, it was so noticeable during the Six Nations, how good Ireland were with building through the phases. It's bloody grueling to watch. I'd imagine it must be unbelievably grueling to play in when, again, it's a no-mistake culture. You cannot give it up. You cannot give them a turnover ball at any stage. And it's big hit after big hit after big hit. I guess, again, that feeds into this bench and what Joe Schmidt can do and the way he's used it, Jenny, which seems he's a master of this, of exactly picking the moment to bring these players in.
Yeah, all the superlatives you can aim at Joe Schmidt. He's like a master tactician, and he does get the best out of his players from an outsider looking in anyway. So, players, and again, like, case in point, when Dev Toner, when he came on, it was exactly what was needed. And it just tidied up what was a messy, at times, line-out. And again, like you said, people were like, oh, there's a reason why Dev is consistently, you know, part of a starting team. It's because he's consistent, he doesn't make mistakes. And when you're going up against a player like Brody Retallick, who is, and Whitelock, both unbelievable in line out and in open play, you need a player like that to disrupt ball, but also to keep it safe. I know Fergus was saying as well, like, England's maul worked really well against New Zealand last week, and I'll be surprised if I don't see some green forwards clumping together do what they do best as a back. I'm not really sure. I'm not at liberty. The dark arts, but it looks good.
Yeah, we had a Saturday panel last week where there was a lot of talk about the scrum as well with Andy Dunn and Johnny Murphy, and both of them admitted they didn't have an
eye on it. You get kneecapped. If I gave my opinion on a scrum and all boring in and like, oh, the height, whatever, I'd go back and the girls front row would, yeah, they'd be like, you don't know anything about the dark arts. So I'll just take a step
keep
back.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Retallick and Whitelock both missed the game in Chicago and are going to add a whole new element to this All Black side. But you look at that back row and you look at the strength of Ireland's back row, even with O'Mahony and Levy out, with O'Brien and Levy out, with Peter O'Mahony, Josh van der Fleer, CJ Stander. That New Zealand back row doesn't look like their greatest ever back row. Maybe it's just because Richie McCall's not there. How could it? But is that, like, is there an opportunity there? Is that an area of the field actually where Ireland look as though they could have won up? On the
I was
All Blacks.
Actually kind of going through the team sheet before I came in here, looking at, you know, which players I'd pick from each one, and the area I think we're particularly strong, you know, touch wood it goes well, but I think that Bundee Aikea, I know Robbie wasn't available for selection, so it would have been one of the two of them, but Bundee Aikea is playing outstandingly well, and Gary Ringrose has been playing brilliantly for Leinster, and I think that they are that partnership today is going to be key. I think they're a stronger partnership than what's against them between Crotty and Goodhue. I think they've played better in bigger games. I think Goodhue is, you know, he's a relatively new to the, he's done well for them, but I think there's just a lot more to Gary's game and to Bundy's game. I think that if Johnny can facilitate those two lads in the right way, I think we can get really good pay there.
I agree.
Yeah, it still feels at times as though when we talk about Ireland's centre partnership that if Henshaw and Ringrose are both fit, that that is unquestionably the number one. Yet Bundy seems to play every game. There's clearly something in him that Joe Schmidt loves, that level of consistency in every single match.
Yeah, and as a warrior, mate, like he fights for every inch. And he's totally bought into the Irish system now and sees himself as an Irishman and proudly wears that jersey. So you're going to get a bloke against his countrymen, probably for the first time, I believe. But he's going to give everything he's got there. And he'll do the basics well, but Bundy, a little bit like Marmo, and, like a Jordan Lama at the back too, and a few other players, Ringrose, another one. They'll do the basics, but if you give them an inch, they'll take it, and that's what you want. You want them to have the ability to do that, and because you can't give them an inch. Bundy's got a great step. He's got great power there, and if you see his little hole, you want him to back himself and take it. But I agree with you, it's an area I think they can get the edge on him.
A lot of the talk during the Six Nations as well, when it was Henshaw and Ringrose, was about leadership and which of them steps up and becomes a more vocal presence. So it's not all on Sexton entirely running that back line, and maybe that's just never going to happen, no matter how good their leadership qualities are. But from Aki's point of view, is he somebody who's very, very vocal? Is he somebody who, in game, is able to spot exactly what's going on and lead those around him?
Yeah, he does. He's probably more defensively focused on that rather than attackingly focused on that. On the other side of it, though, Crotty, that relationship, Sonny Bill's out, but you put in Crotty. Crotty, to me, his real strength is his vision. And I often, certainly down in the Southern Hemisphere, we talk about Beauden Barrett. He's not the playmaker, he's the executioner. But he only executes what he's been told on the outside. And Crotty, to me, has the best eyes as a 12. So he may not be the best player, per se, as a Sonny Bill, but I think his vision for the game is exceptional. And I think today, I actually reckon, in a funny way, it's a strong selection for New Zealand in that he gives better voice to Beauden Barrett. And we'll see. And I know that relationship there is a strong one. We'll see how that plays out today.
Yeah, and myself and Goodhue, club mates as well, so there's that understanding as well. So that's interesting, actually, maybe it's because Sonny Bill is such a big superstar and everybody wants to see him play in every game, but we know exactly what Crotty can do from 4 or 5 years ago in the last minute. So is it just, again, is he a very vocal part of that All Blacks
massively
team?
Massively vocal.
So he'll run that back line, will he?
Very much so. So if you look at, your best tens, and Johnny's an enigma in his own way, because he tends to have the ability to see everything himself too. He still needs strong voices outside him, but certainly down the Southern Hemisphere, your great tens that you can name, a Michael Liner or an Andrew Mertens, you look at the bloke who was sitting outside him, Timmy Horan or a Daryl Gibson or Aaron Major, those blokes, they've got great 12s sitting outside him, and every time I've seen Crotty play, the 10 looks good. The 10's always looking class when he's playing, and I reckon his voice is very, very good.
So when you have someone like Richie Mwanga, his teammate, coming on at 10 as well, you've got basically the centre Crusaders
Correct.
Partnership,
That's
which
it.
Is, he's so dynamic. He's a player when I'm watching Super Rugby, he's one that I would look at an awful lot. He's an all-rounder, really solid kicking game, again, really intelligent, quick with the ball, and then just a playmaker too. It's an extra set of eyes there that will command what's going on when they have the ball. So, I think that's going to be a nice battle.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And then the other one to me, which is, I didn't think they were going to pick McKenzie at the back, just given the weekend he had last weekend. And I thought Ben Smith might have been a smarter option there. But to me, that's an area I reckon Ireland can target. As good as a footballer he is, you saw last weekend there's some vulnerabilities there, and if they can attack that and get in behind them,
they can be sure they're going to go after him in the air.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that, and no matter how dry it is out there, they're going to go after him because he's outstanding, Damien McKenzie. But you got to question when a player is that small, they can only, he's got a good leap on him, but we've got bigger guys in the back three. We've got Stockdale has gotten extremely good in the air, and then obviously Rob is one of the best in the world. So I could see a few bombs going up on him for sure.
Yeah, so do you do that for the first 10, 15 minutes consistently and see if he's up to it? And if he is, you try something else, or do you just keep at it for the 80?
I wouldn't say so. It's something that I'm sure Joe might have mentioned, but he definitely wouldn't be like, let's put bombs up. There's so much more to Joe's plan than that. I'd say if they're not going, if they don't go anywhere off one of the power plays for like four or five phases, you'll see one go up. But one can be enough to unsettle a player. You know, you drop one big one, get a turnover, the whole crowd gets going, and you're Viva behind. You know that Absolutely. Yeah, that can put it up, put someone on edge big time if that happens. So I could see Ireland doing that definitely in the first 20 for probably.
Yeah, we didn't mention Rob Kearney there, but he is the other change coming in place of Jordan Larmour at fullback. And as brilliant as Larmour was in the game against Italy, it still felt the whole way through that Joe Smith was always going to go back to Rob Kearney and strike one for the old lads, and still got it. Ultra consistent, a no mistake game again. And Larmour, I guess, just having that option off the bench again for the final 20 minutes, it seems like such an obvious selection. Was it always for you going to be that way?
I think it is probably the clever call. Like, Rob obviously has so much experience, and you know, he's played against these guys before. I think Jordan's done fantastically well, and I think if Rob wasn't fit and Jordan got the chance, I've no doubt he would play brilliantly today. But I think it's definitely the good call. I think you got that firepower with Jordan coming off the bench as well. If you need to get a score in that last 15-20, you know, he's so good at the basics, but he's, you know, the ultimate pull a rabbit out of a hat merchant as well with his footwork. So yeah, I think it's. I was, you know, not surprised for a second that Joe's gone, Robert fullback and Jordan the bench, probably the clever one. What do you reckon?
Yeah, listen, I think it's, you know, we're talking about moments and talking about being the best at the basics. You know, Jenny mentioned at the front end there, you got McKenzie last weekend, was found a little bit wanting with his positional play. And, you know, against a team like Ireland, you've got to be really careful with that. Similar on the other side of it, you know, Kearney's, his positional play is outstanding. And not that Jordan's isn't, but there's just a lot more experience there. And he'll read that play probably just a touch quicker because he's been in that environment a little bit more. So I can see why Joe's gone with it. What a great player to bring on. You know, if you're looking for a bit of impact or you're looking to continue pressure on a team, bring Jordan Larmour on. That's a nice one, nice option to have.
We're almost out of time, but Jenny, what are your predictions?
I'm going to go, I'm like feeling good today. I think Ireland, four point win, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ferg, you're going to get the green jersey on as well, come on.
Yeah, of course I will. I'll go Ireland by one. I think there's going to be a few scores though. Like the All Blacks, you go through their past seven, eight fixtures, they concede a good few points, you know, and Ireland are well able to score. You know, on the flip side of that, you know, New Zealand always, you know, score in around 20 points. I reckon it's going to be maybe 23-22, I'll call it, Ireland.
We'll take it. Andy, as the one so-called neutral, but you are very much resident in Ireland now, so just remember that.
And surrounded by three.
Yeah. I think the Wallabies
are going to be getting the spuds soon, so just remember now.
I'm not throwing at me. Listen, it's going to... it's a tough one to call, isn't it? But that's why we love sport. I'm going to go Ireland too. I do think they can do it. To me, it's who handles Wayne Barnes best. And Wayne Barnes refereeing it, he's a good talker. So you've got to adjust to him as quickly as you can. And if you can do that and stay on the right side of the penalty count, you've got a fair chance of winning. Hopefully that's Ireland.
Yeah, I had heard it said that in a way he was the worst possible referee for a game like this, not just from an Irish point of view, but that he's very good at the basics, but when a game gets frantic and almost on the edge of going out of control, that maybe he can get caught up in the moment as well. I guess that's where you trust Rory best to be able to manage the situation.
Yeah, and he's, you know,
keep Johnny away from him.
Rory's good, yeah, big time. I know. But you know, between Rory and Johnny, and I'm sure Rory will do the talking on the field, you know, we've got leaders with so much experience there. And you know, Rory's the king of managing refs. You know, he'll be in his ear a lot, but not too much. I think, listen, you talked about penalty count and Wayne Barnes there. You know, the penalties today are going to be a big thing. And I think that if Beauden Barrett has an off day off the tee, which he can do, you know, they miss two or three kicks, which Johnny doesn't do. His percentages are much better. I reckon, you know, that could be definitely the difference.
Here's hoping. Thanks a million for coming into the studio. Fergus McFadden and Jenny Murphy, best of luck with the recovery from injury, and hopefully we see you back in the field new year. And Andy, best of luck with the spuds and dinner with Jenny whenever that happens. You'll have to let us know. Maybe there's a little TV series in it or something like that. You can bring him through all the Irish delicacies.
Oh man, we'll start anything off with mash and we'll work our way.
We work our way from there.
No, we've got it. Yeah.
Andy, best of luck with the rest of the season. You. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.